So Joanna Perry, who is the chair of our advisory council, would like to tell you a little bit about what the advisory council is doing and the recent activities. So we're very happy to have her speaking to us this morning for a few minutes. Welcome, Joanna.
Do I need this or not?
You don't have to do anything, but actually, you should turn it on.
Don't touch anything electronic.
I think you turned it off.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we're being recorded, everyone, so remember.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for having me here. And Peter, I will try to be short, but I would say that New Zealand, which is where I come from, is further away than Australia. Just thought it was a good opportunity to share with you, in terms of understanding how the various bits of the process work, about the IFRS Advisory Council, which we met the last 2 days, and Goro is actually one of the vice chairs of the Advisory Council. So if I get anything wrong, I'm sure he will correct me, or he can probably answer questions later as you see fit. So really just an opportunity to talk about it, and you do have, I think you've all received copies of the slides. You don't need to have them in front of you, but just in terms of talking about, first of all, what the council's role is. And I think it's important, it is part of the structure of the organisation. It is the main advisory, no, it's not the main advisory board, because you're a key part of the advisory, but it's the established advisory council for both the trustees and the board. And the key is that it's actually about providing strategic advice and around the work plan and priorities. So it's about timely advice. We are not a decision maker in any way, shape or form, and we do not debate details of technical proposals. So I think it would be fair to say that we're at a higher strategic level than you are in terms of the advice that you provide. And there are 50 of us, so we don't meet here. We actually meet in one of the hotels here, it's one of the ballrooms. I'm sitting around the table that size and kind of chair, and meeting Peter. I'm not one of those last year either. So, and it is, I think, you know, what it is that the board and the trustees, who a number actually sit around the table as well, so hearing a range of views from people that they don't normally hear about, because although most people are obviously involved in financial reporting, those that are members, they are actually, and I'll show you a slide, we've got slides in a minute, in terms of the membership, and you know, it is from a whole range of organisations. It's also the other way around, for the members for a secondary objective, which is actually about using the members in terms of communicating in the big wide world about the benefit, or more of an education around IFRS and IFRS standards. So the membership, as I said, you know, is made up of a whole range of different world bodies, and also then some preparers and auditors and investors. So there are a number of investors. The investors on the council, actually, as I said, include Scotto and the Vincent Papa, who represents the CFA Institute, Lothar Benninger, who represents Krupp, Anne Simpson, the Council of the Institutional Investors, Anne Molyneux, the International Corporate Governance Network, Colin MacDonald, he's just been to his first meeting. He's representing, so from BlackRock, representing the Investment Association, and Greg Smith representing the Investment Company Institute. So those are the investors that actually sit on the advisory council. So bringing that investor look into those strategic issues. We meet, or have been meeting, 3 times a year, 2-day meetings, and in London. We actually, both through consultation internally and with the council yesterday, effectively agreed that from now on we will be meeting twice a year. In terms of the strategic level of the advice that we're providing, we believe that it's more appropriate and more effective to meet twice a year. While when it was more on the technical agenda, then it did come down to that 3 times. However, we've also got to be very conscious of ensuring we provide timely advice, so it may be that we need to do other stuff in between. meetings are in public like this and recorded, and meeting notes are posted on the website. Just to give you an idea of some of the things that we do talk about, during last year we covered a number of things. We actually looked at the risks and opportunities of the foundation as a whole, so effectively looking at the risk matrix that the management team here put together, and you know, what we thought were risks, whether we agreed from an external perspective, and then even more importantly said, okay, you know, from every risk comes an opportunity, so what are the opportunities to be more effective as a foundation? We have, and I'm sure near and dear to all of your hearts, one of the things is the future of corporate reporting. And where does financial reporting fit into corporate reporting? So over the year, last year, and even the meeting the last 2 days, we've had, you know, continued dialogue around that future of corporate reporting. And yesterday we actually had presentations, or yesterday and the day before, presentations about from the, I'm not going to remember what it's called, the FEE, Federation of European Accountants, talking about their paper that they released at the end of last year around, you know, making sure that financial statements and financial reporting remains relevant in terms of the overall corporate reporting. And I don't think anyone is saying it's not going to remain relevant and therefore the ISB, you know, is going to die an untimely death. I think we all know, you all know, that financial statements and financial reporting is absolutely fundamental. But it's where it fits with that bigger picture of corporate reporting, which seems to be taking on a lot more. So we had that, and we also had presentations around thinking about actually the financial reporting implications as much as anything else of climate change. So for, you know, just as an example, what are the financial risks for an organisation in relation to any climate change legislation that comes into various countries? Or, and you know, going so far as to say, well, are people taking it into account when they're considering a payment? And again, I think from your perspective as investors, probably something near and dear to your hearts to say, yeah, the investments, you know, if there are any of those potential risks around climate change, are they adequately disclosed? So we hear quite a good discussion about that. We also, the disclosure initiative is another one that we've focused on around thinking about the streamlining of disclosures and how best, again, for readers of financial statements around that. We've talked about materiality, we've talked about the education initiative strategy, and we've talked about research activities. So those are the kind of things, and the meeting yesterday we also talked about the review of the structure and effectiveness of the foundation as a whole. We have had considerable discussions about the agenda consultation that has gone out, and at our June meeting intend to look at that a bit more when the staff have analysed that, and to provide that overview feedback from a more strategic level and global perspective. Not that everyone else isn't global, but more at that, you know, non-technical accounting level. As I said at the beginning of the meeting on Tuesday, please all take your technical accounting hats off for the next 2 days. Some of us found it very, very difficult, I have to say, but that was the aim, was to take your technical accounting hats off. So that, I think, probably sums up what we do. I think it's good to meet with and have an understanding of what the other advisory bodies do. And if there is anything, Peter, that you think from your perspective, you know, for this group, you think would be useful to get on our agenda, knowing what sort of thing it is. So you know, we form the agendas in advance of the meetings, but really the key is what can we look at that's going to really help and provide advice to the trustees and to the board at that level. So if you've got particular things, then you know, we will certainly take those into account, and I'm certainly very interested in those. So that about sums it up.
Okay, thank you. Questions? One? I actually have one.
Yes.
How do you interact with the ISB?
what kind of response do you get from the ISP? Is you like a, another group up there fiddling with their job board?
The ISP, so at most meetings, there are, Hans is at every meeting, and Ian has been to most of the meetings, and there are, as Sue said to me as we were coming up in the lesson, I said, I missed you. She says, oh, what's my allocated term? So that the board members are, I think I'm right in saying, four or five board members at each meeting. So they're hearing what we're saying. They are also interacting. So if somebody says something, you know, to challenge, well, why are you saying that? So there's an understanding on the spot. We also do effectively a report back that is on the website, but a report back of our pieces of advice. And I think it would be fair if, you know, the council themselves were concerned at one point that we never hear, you know, we say all these things, and yes, it is purely advice. We say all these things and we never know what's happening. We are now doing a report back at the following meeting of all the things that we have advised and saying how they've been taken into account. And although it's only anecdotal, and I've only been involved now for 2 years, but certainly the understanding from what I've heard is that board members and the trustees are really listening quite hard to some of the things, no, all of the things that we say, and are taking out, you know, and finding them valuable. And there are, you know, even within, for instance, the effectiveness review, there was mention in the public document that, you know, the request for views, that the advisory council has suggested that we looked at this and this, what do you think, type of thing. So really taking that into account.
Yeah, I think future reporting is quite a good example of that, because the last 2 years, council has really given a strong message that we need to really pay attention to this. And I think partly because of the council advice, there has been specific mention and discussion of that in the review, request for the review of structure and effectiveness. And as a result of that, we have now have internal reorganization, we're going to have staff resources dedicated to that, and I think council advice is partly to play a role.
I would like to take all the credit, but it probably has had some.
Yes. And also just to clarify that, even though the council does very much get involved in strategic decisions rather than technical decisions, and they're pretty good at that boundary, certainly we include input from the council on things like the decisions we've made on whether or not we'd set up transition resource implementation groups, very much taken advice from the council on that sort of thing. And also they've been very helpful, and we've included new war papers and analysis, their advice, for example, on the sorts of communications and support we should give to things like the leases standard post-publication. So they do get, that sort of information does get fed back into the actual decision-making process by the board. So it's very much seen as a source of advice, along with other groups, including CMAC and others, as, you know, we've consulted with these important, not just general stakeholders, but advisory groups that we've set up, and this is what they've advised us, does it take into account. And the other thing which you just touched on, but I think is also as important, is there's quite often representatives from the trustees who actually come to the meetings as well. So it's not just Hans and Ian and, you know, some of the board members, also the trustees are very aware of the discussions that go on at the advisory council, which is sort of in keeping with its strategic advice as well.
And we also, with the investor members, we have an investor breakfast.
Sorry, Barbara, I should have mentioned
that. Oh, that's okay. Yeah. We do have an investor breakfast in the morning of the second day, and we try to bring topics to them that are more strategic questions. I think we've done, we've had a, you know, good and bad, there's not, I don't mean in terms of advice, I mean the way, you know, whether we've brought the right topics, the right levels to the meeting. So I think in terms of Goro advising us in the future on what we're thinking, there's some topics to bring to the breakfast, because it is a good group to focus on, and it's important to remember that they're for strategic advice, but it is a group that we also try to talk to as part of the advisory council.
Yeah, more time.
Just a quick question. Does the advisory council aim to get to a consensus advice, or do you vote, or is it just to bring all stakeholders together and provide a broad sounding board for the board and trustees?
It is I think in some ways it's actually good for the, useful for the board to hear the diversity of views. So no, it is not a plan to get consensus. However, so it's individual views. However, we also, at most meetings we have two, what we call about two or more breakout sessions, so that there's four smaller groups and they're debating things and they're asked to bring back, if you like, and report back. So it is trying to bring down at least themes, and the meeting report that I do, and I try to sum up at the end of the meeting of 50 different views of where there are common themes. And I think that it's the common themes that are useful for the board and the foundation. And just one example where it came through yesterday, and it was actually at the one of the reviews, the effectiveness review, and there have been in the comments that have come through in terms of that around the selection of trustees. So it's up at this level. And some of the comments have been trustees should be selected on the basis of the funding that their jurisdictions provide to the ISB, and that was, you know, one of the things that, so we talk generally about the appointment of trustees, and basically nobody or none of the report backs of the different groups said that that was appropriate. They all in fact said that was not appropriate. So it was, I think, very useful information from a, you know, when you get people and they're sharing views. So I think that people, like when you're writing your submission, you're sitting there in splendid isolation and say, oh, I want a seat on the trustees or whatever it may be, and you're not hearing the other views. So I think the benefit of something like the advisory council is that, you know, being objective, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to Goran and I'm going, he's got a very good point. Yes, maybe so my view might sway slightly as a result of that. So that's a long-winded answer to your question. But I think it works like that.
Okay.